Welcome to worship this second Sunday of Christmas. Let us begin our worship together, confessing our sin and receiving God's forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who was in the beginning, who makes a dwelling among us, who covers us with justice and mercy. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of goodness and loving kindness, we confess that we have sinned against you and our neighbors. We have turned away from your invitation to new life. We have turned away from the lowly and downtrodden. In your abundant mercy, forgive us our sins, those we know and those known only to you, for the sake of the one who came to live among us, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Hear the good news of peace and salvation. God forgives us all our sins, not through our own work, but through Jesus Christ, made known to all people. With all who come to the manger, rejoice in this amazing gift of grace. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have filled all the earth with the light of your incarnate word. By your grace, empower us to reflect your light in all that we do through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Jeremiah. Thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, save, O Lord, your people, the remnant of Israel. See, I am going to bring them from the land of the north and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth, among them the blind and the lame, those with child and those in labor together. A great company they shall return here. With weeping they shall come, and with consolations I will lead them back. I will let them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble, for I have become a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it to the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him and will keep him as a shepherd, a flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. They shall come and sing aloud on the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall become like a watered garden, and they shall never languish again. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will give the priests their fill of fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my bounty, says the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. This time I invite our children to turn special attention to our time together here. I know it's about that time, and I know you're all ready to start school soon, right? I remember when I was about your age, I was at home one night working on math homework. Now, you have to understand, I've always had a hard time when I was in school learning math. And I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm still not great at math even today. My dad was a math teacher, and he was very patient and always tried to help me do my homework. That one night, though, I kept getting more and more frustrated, fussing and then screaming and crying, and my paper where I was trying to work got more messy with pencil marks and eraser streaks. And finally, I got so frustrated, I pressed so hard that my eraser tore right through my paper. I was so upset, and I was ready to just quit and give up. And then my dad very calmly tore off the old ripped sheet of paper, revealing a bright, clean piece of paper underneath. And he calmly said, "Let's start again." And we made it through that homework lesson somehow. When things go wrong in our lives, when things seem messy, when we think we've messed up and nothing will be right again, that's when God reaches out in love to say, "Let's start again." God is always ready to help us start again. We hear about that in our gospel lesson today. We hear from John, who wrote our gospel lesson. And John calls this way that God helps us and gives us new chances, he calls it grace upon grace. God made us and God loves us, and even when we don't deserve it, God keeps loving us. That is called grace. We don't deserve it and God loves us anyway. And we hear today that God sent Jesus to us to live among us, to love us, and to help us even when we don't deserve that. And that is grace upon grace. That day when I got so angry at my math homework, I'm not so sure I deserved a chance to start over again. Maybe my dad should have just put me to bed. But he didn't. He hung in there with me. He helped me start again and get it right. That's a little bit like how God loves us and helps us and guides us. Let us pray. Dear God, even when we don't deserve good things, you give them to us anyway. Even when we mess up, you're always ready to help us try again, and you love us no matter what. We thank you for this gift, this grace upon grace, made known to us through Jesus, in whose name we pray together now. Amen. In the beginning, here we are, the beginning of a new year. This is the first Sunday of 2021. Can you believe it? And here we are in the beginning of John's gospel, which just so happens to start with that phrase, "in the beginning." It seems quite appropriate. John, of course, borrowed this phrase from the beginning of another book. In fact, from the beginning of our Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void." So why would John choose to start his gospel with those ancient words from Genesis 1:1? Of all the ways he could start this gospel. For all we know, John was familiar with Luke or Matthew or Mark's gospels. He could have given us a story about the infant Jesus like Luke or Matthew did. He could have told us about shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night like Luke. He could have told us about wise people from the east coming to visit the new king Jesus like Matthew. He could have, like Mark, started with Jesus at age 30 being baptized by John in the Jordan. And John does eventually, in this passage, get to the story of John the Baptist, but John chose to tell us another story first. In just a few short and beautiful lines, John tells us what happened before John the Baptist, before the wise men, before the shepherds. John goes all the way back to the beginning. And in using that phrase, in the beginning, John calls our minds back to Genesis 1:1. God created all that is, everything that exists. And now John tells us, before any of that stuff was made, in the beginning, the Word was. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Everything that exists came into being through that Word that was. One way to think about this Word is to think of it as God's divine plan, God's infinite wisdom. More than that, that Word can be thought of also as God's creative process. Remember that process from Genesis. God spoke, "Let there be light," and there was light, and it was good. That Word of God is inseparable from God. As we confess, though, in the Nicene Creed, that Word is not just God's wisdom, not just God's purpose, not just God's creative method or the utterances of God. That Word is Jesus of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. But John isn't just interested in telling us how the world came into being. In saying, "In the beginning was the Word," John is telling us something far more important to our everyday lives. John is telling us that a new beginning has come to pass for us. The Word, God's will, God's essence, God's wisdom, God's power, God's own Son. The Word became flesh and lived among us. What difference will this make for us that God's Word not only has been since the beginning, but now God's Word has come to us, drawn near us, taken on flesh for and with us? It makes all the difference. Remember how things were in the beginning, in Genesis, when God created. God created and it was good. For 5 days of creation, God made all that is. On the last day of creation, God created humankind, male and female, and it was very good indeed. And there in the garden, God lived and spoke, walked and fellowshipped with humankind until humans broke that relationship, turned away from God, and were cast out of the garden. You probably remember that story. If not, I invite you to read Genesis chapters 1 through 3 on your own time. The point of that sequence of creation and fellowship with God and then fall from grace in Genesis is to show us that things as we know them are not as God intended them to be. God created us for fellowship and unity, oneness and relationship with God forever, and something, through many faults of our own, something went terribly wrong. And so the radical and shocking good news John wants us to hear in this gospel is this: in the beginning was the Word, we knew that. But now that Word has become flesh to live among us. In order to give us a new beginning, a fresh start, in order that we might have relationship and love and oneness with God again, God took on human flesh and made a dwelling place with us in this world. That's pretty incredible good news. Undeserved good news. We might call it grace. John, in fact, calls it grace upon grace. The first grace, or graces, if you will. God created us. God reached out through the law, as John says, through Moses, God reached out through God's prophets, and now God has given us more than we could imagine or deserve. God has given us the gift of God's self in human flesh and form. Jesus Christ, the Word, made flesh. Speaking of grace upon grace, we should note this is not the first time God has been described as living with God's people. That word is used again and again in the Old Testament. In fact, it's the same root word for tent or tabernacle. Remember, God lived with God's people in the tabernacle as Moses and the Israelites wandered the wilderness for 40 years. God promised in the prophets to dwell with God's people. God lived with the first human beings, fellowshipped with them in the garden in the beginning. And here, grace upon grace, God was not satisfied to live in tent or temple or garden alone. Instead, God took on flesh and lived as one of us among us. So in a sense, what John is telling us about here is the hope, the possibilities we have for a new way of looking at and doing things. We are not bound to the old way. We were created, we live, we die. Now, instead, we have new and eternal life. Because this Word of God, which created in the beginning, has come among us. This is indeed a new beginning, a fresh start. And now for us, for all humanity, instead of God destroying what God created, instead of striking down all flesh, instead of stomping us out, God has fully embraced God's creation. God has signaled through Jesus Christ, I love you, I'm with you, I will live for you, I will die for you. Grace upon grace. What this ultimately means for us is that God is in the business of new beginnings. God is about the very work of never giving up on us, never allowing our failings, our faults, our weaknesses to stand in the way of new life. And that is grace upon grace for us. And it's great news for us. Because God knows we have failings and faults and weaknesses to go around. Personally, of course, all of us worry and mess up and need new beginnings at times, but corporately as well as a congregation, we look on the past often as Adam and Eve must have looked longingly on their time in the garden with God. Oh, if we could only get back to where we used to be. And yet, God didn't choose to reinstate the Eden experience. God didn't go back to the past or turn back the clock. No, God is in the business of new beginnings. And though we may not now know what the future holds for us, we know God will embrace us, dwell among us, and give us new and abundant life here in this place. And in our world as well, perhaps it is there that we see the need for a new beginning most clearly. We hear about war and bloodshed. We read about fear and terror, about violence and anger, about disease and death, depression and disappointment. We hear about wounded hearts and wounded flesh. And then we hear these words from John, the Word became flesh and lived among us. What might that sort of new beginning mean for a world of brokenness and pain? What hope does this Word made flesh offer in a world such as this? Well, there are, in fact, many answers to that question, but we may be shocked to learn that we ourselves are one of God's answers for the pain and suffering in this world. For those of us who have been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, we discover that God has one more surprise in store for us and for the world. God indwells human flesh again, yours and mine. God has many hands and feet in this world, many hearts and minds at work. God has taken on quite a lot of flesh this time in this body of Christ we share. sending us to be that body in the world, grace upon grace upon grace. To quote St. Teresa of Avila, Christ has no body now but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands. Yours are the feet. Yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. We, the body of Christ, are yet another new beginning God is offering graciously to this world. And so here we are in the beginning of a new year on the calendar. And look at the possibilities for this new year. Yes, look at the sad state of the world, but more than that, look at the grace upon grace upon grace God has given, is giving, and will give to us. Imagine that just as in the beginning when God created, God is up to that creative work yet again, here and now, among us and through us. Last time around, all that existed came into being. I can't help but wonder what God might create anew this time around out of the mess we may find ourselves in. Here we are in the beginning. Let's follow God this year and eagerly await what God does in and through and among us next. Amen. Let us confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Joining our voices with the song of the angels, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Redeeming God, you gather together your people from the farthest parts of the earth. Protect your church from stumbling. Let it not be overcome by sorrow, division, or despair. Make us radiant with goodness that we might live always to the praise of your glory. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You bring together heaven and earth. All creation testifies to your splendor. Hold the ecosystems of this earth in delicate balance from coastlands to farmlands, forests to wetlands, deserts to rainforests. Show us new ways to live in harmony with the world around us. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You overflow with grace upon grace. Expand the imaginations of those who serve in positions of authority. Open their hearts to the needs of their nations and communities. Protect all those in harm's way and those risking danger for the sake of others. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You bring consolation to those who weep. Embrace those who feel far off, excluded, or defeated. Accompany those living with chronic and invisible illness. Sustain the weak and weary. Refresh those who labor under the weight of pain or sickness, especially all those on our prayer list and those whom we name now before you. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You come to us in the beauty of darkness and light. Bring justice and reconciliation to communities divided by oppression and misuse of power. Guide us to speak holy words of advocacy and truth. Help us to honor your image in one another. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. You turn mourning into joy. We give thanks for those who have died in faith. With all the saints, give us our inheritance in Christ. In the fullness of time, gather us all together in your mercy. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. God of mercy, come quickly to us with grace upon grace as we lift these and all our prayers to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Praise and thanks to you, holy God, for by your word you made all things. You spoke light into darkness, called forth beauty from chaos, and brought life into being. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. by your word, you called your people Israel to tell of your wonderful gifts, freedom from captivity, water on the desert journey, a pathway home from exile, wisdom for life with you. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus, your word made flesh, you speak to us and call us to witness forgiveness through the cross, life to those entombed by death, the way of your self-giving love. For your word of life, O God, we give you thanks and praise. Send your spirit of truth, O God, and rekindle your gifts within us. Renew our faith, increase our hope, and deepen our love for the sake of a world in need. Faithful to your word, O God, draw near to all who call on you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen.
Lord,
Go in peace, share the good news.
Thanks be to God.